Jason, we're about a week into Bears training camp. You and I will break down what we've seen so far with the Bears, coming up on Halas Intrigue. Hi, I'm Patrick Finley. He's Jason Leisure. Jason, as we sit here on a Tuesday, the Bears have practiced six times, and I wanted to run through three of the hottest topics that we have been talking about on and off mic since training camp started on Wednesday. Caleb Williams, the Bears rookies, and what in the world they're going to do at O-line. We'll get to all that here in a sec, but general impressions so far?
Overall or about those topics?
Sure. Yeah, either. Yes.
Well, I think it's very much a work in progress, and every coach will always say that about every training camp, but this is more so than usual. There is so much being overhauled by Ben Johnson and Dennis Allen, and it seems more complex than what we saw the last few years with Luke Getsy and Shane Waldron and Matt Eberflus. There's a lot for the guys to learn. There's a lot of shifting around. And by the way, since I brought up Ben Johnson and Dennis Allen, tell me what you think about this. Mm-hmm. It seems very clear to me that this is running similar to how it was with Matt Nagy, where Ben Johnson, the head coach, runs the offense, and Dennis Allen, the defensive coordinator, is more than that. He's really the head coach of the defense. And the distinction I'd make between that and something else, for example, would be the last few years, Matt Eberflus was spending quite a bit of time in practice around the offense, trying to get his hands around that and learn that for the first time in his career, how to coach that. I have not seen Ben Johnson around the defense much at all.
Even to hear Ben talk on Tuesday about, he said he had another coach remind him, you know, Dennis Allen's got a little bit of ego now. You know, the idea of, you know, just the phrasing of he and Dennis going up against each other, not necessarily Ben overseeing Dennis.
It sounds like Nagy and Ben. Absolutely. Doesn't it?
Yeah. And I have no issue with that because, I mean, the best season the Bears have had since they went to the Super Bowl was when Matt Nagy ran the offense, Vic Fangio ran the defense. And, you know, if not for a Cody Parkey double doink, they might have actually won a playoff game.
It's all good as long as it's going well.
Exactly.
See,
right.
When it doesn't, when there's a glitch, when the defense struggles and Ben Johnson needs to get involved because he's the head coach,
right?
Will he be capable of doing that? Matt Eberflus never was able to intervene and fix things on offense. Matt Nagy seemed really clueless anytime you asked him about the defense. And at one point, Pat, toward the end, was blaming the defense for some things when the defense was the primary reason that Matt Nagy was able to get out of here with a winning record. Let's move on to your topic.
Granted, he was blaming a defense that was run by Chuck Pagano and then Sean Desai.
Defenses were still saving him.
They were decent. Yeah, they were decent. But the one that Vic had was good enough to get Vic a head coaching job that had eluded him for 30 years. So, yeah, I agree with you, and I think your assessment is right. Also, this defense has looked really good. And Ben Johnson talks about how the coverage is so much tighter than it was even in the spring. We've had players tell us, oh, my God, they're blitzing guys from all over the place. They're running different personnel sets. Jaquan Brisker might line up outside playing corner. He might play slot corner on some plays. He might play essentially linebacker on other plays. They seem to be making an impact, and the impact they're making is to the detriment, at least in terms of statistics and aesthetics, the difference they're making comes at Caleb Williams' expense.
Yeah, should we talk about Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson?
That was my smooth transition into that. Yes,
I think there was a really interesting conversation with Ben Johnson last week,
mm-hmm.
where it would be so easy for Ben Johnson to give a little bit, just a titch, as Matt Eberflus would say, of credit to the previous coaching staff for Caleb Williams' onboarding, for his rookie orientation. So when the question is, what did he get out of his rookie year, it'd be so easy. It'd be just, it would cost Ben Johnson nothing to follow the coach's code and say just some kind of vague compliment. He didn't really.
Nope.
He really has stuck by, we're building him from the ground up like a rookie. And I think that gives context to two things. Mm-hmm. It illuminates the depth of the coaching malpractice last year, mm-hmm. that Ben Johnson inherits this very talented former number one overall pick and says, I don't think there's really hardly anything that he already has.
That carries over.
Yeah. From last year. And two, it gives context to the struggles that he has had so far in training camp, which, as of this recording on Tuesday, July 29th, is that the right date?
Sure.
On Tuesday, have gotten a little bit better. Mm-hmm. It's not as concerning as it was last week.
No, he's. I think we've seen some progress, and we're going to have to see more than that. And part of the reason why, Jason, is because the head coach has set standards publicly. This isn't a, we have some goals that we don't want to share with anybody. This is a, he needs to complete 70% of his passes in games, which, by the way, is very lofty.
And in practices.
Yeah, and then, I mean, to me, extension. I mean, what we're looking at here every day is a coach who has said, you don't just do that, you know, you don't wake up on Sunday and do it. You need to do it during practice, too. And we haven't seen anything close to 70% completion rate in 7-on-7s or 11-on-11s. I think he's been better in 7-on-7s, and part of that is, as Ben Johnson explained, that you know their pass blocking is probably the thing he's most concerned about at this point. And we'll get to that in a sec in terms of the O-line. But you know, when Caleb's had a clean pocket, I think the throws have been better and more on time the last couple of days than they were, say, in the first three practices.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that Caleb had a really good red zone period the other day, and the image of Caleb Williams, the reputation of Caleb Williams that was presented leading up to the draft, I have found to not be the case.
Right.
I have found him to be extremely serious and a very hard worker, very determined and receptive to coaching. So I think he will, when you have that mentality and you have his obvious talent that nobody has ever questioned, I think that he's going to figure this out. Keep in mind that his season last year for a rookie, had he not been drafted first overall and been hyped as the greatest quarterback prospect since Trevor Lawrence, which is a little bit of a funny thing now because Trevor Lawrence hasn't proven to be that great. If he had been drafted like fifth, mm-hmm. you'd sit here and say, okay, that's a solid rookie season, especially all things considered, given that coaching staff. That's his floor, Patrick.
Right.
That's he has established already that that's the worst he will be. I think that he takes a step forward because of Ben Johnson and his receptiveness to being coached by Ben Johnson.
I mean, if Jaden Daniels didn't exist, I think Caleb would be framed differently at this time
Definitely.
Of year. I will tell you this, though, you know, getting back to your point about Ben saying, you know, there's really not a whole lot of carryover from last year to this year. The Bears hired Ben Johnson to do things his way. And the Bears hired Ben Johnson and doubled Matt Eberflus's salary because they not because they wanted him to come in and do things however would be most comfortable for Caleb. It was to do things his way. And in that sense, I think the tone's very different than with Shane Waldron last year, who, you know, whether Caleb knew it or not, you know, Shane Waldron and Matt Eberflus are, you know, last year entered in a walk year, essentially. So win or else. And now, you know, Caleb Williams, I think, in his heart of hearts, could look up and say, Ben Johnson may outlast me here if I don't do things his way. And that is a very different tone. Item two here, the offensive line. Jason, the Bears have had a three-man rotation at left tackle with Braxton Jones, who is coming back from ankle surgery, and Ozzie Trapillo, and Karan Amagaji. Amagaji came off the field, what was it, on Monday?
I think it was Saturday.
It was Saturday, and then he came back.
An ankle injury or something, a leg injury.
Yeah, but of the three, has anybody jumped out at you?
Well, what jumps out to me is before we even start training camp, Ozzie Trapillo is the only one of those guys that Ben Johnson helped select.
Yeah.
And he's huge, by the way. He's the tallest guy on the team at 6 foot, and he towers over people at practice. Also, where he was drafted, what was it exactly, 50th overall, somewhere around there in the second round? You draft guys, offensive linemen specifically, in that round thinking they are starting right away. So I think that Ben Johnson goes into this wanting and probably projecting him as the starter, and it's on Braxton Jones and Karan Amagaji to prove him wrong. Amagaji is not at that level right now, and Braxton Jones hasn't really practiced that much to this point because he's still kind of ramping up from injury. So to me, it seems like Ozzie Trapillo is going to be the guy, and the sooner they get to that, the better.
I wouldn't rule out Braxton Jones.
No, I wouldn't either.
I think, and we've talked about this before, by the way, good. This is a problem good teams have. Do we start the second rounder or do we start the guy who's got 50 career starts? Like, great. And whoever doesn't win is going to be the swing tackle. I think you and I both agree that Amagaji's probably destined to be a backup, at least to start the season.
He's on the roster for sure. I mean,
but to me, the most compelling aspect of this is Karan Amagaji is a guy from an Ivy League school that Ryan Poles took in the third round.
Who was injured at the time.
Yes, and bet pretty big on him. Braxton Jones came from a 1AA school and was a great find. I mean, and if he never plays another snap for the Bears, they got a ton. I mean, they got a
ton out
of
their. If you find a serviceable NFL starter out of Southern Utah in that round, yeah. I mean, that
was it round six?
That's a good find.
Round six or late five?
It might have been five.
Yeah. In both cases, Ryan Poles is invested in those two guys doing well. But the guy who makes the decision about who starts is not Ryan Poles. It's Ben Johnson. And I think that being able to walk in and not have that weight of, you know, our guys have got to prove me right because I put my neck out to draft them, I think makes this a really compelling battle. And I wouldn't look past Braxton Jones's experience. You know, I think you and I can agree that, you know, he's a decent pass blocker and probably not as nasty as you need him to be on running downs. Maybe that will be his undoing. But, you know, if the Bears end up starting the veteran and bring the rookie along, you know, maybe even midseason, I wouldn't have a problem with that timeline at all.
It's funny that you mention his experience, Braxton Jones' experience, because Ben Johnson was asked about that last week. And his response was not like, yeah, Braxton has started for 3 years. He's going to be really tough to beat out. Ben Johnson's response was like, I'm doing my version of it. This is not quoting Ben Johnson, but it was kind of like, yeah, I guess. Yeah. I guess his experience helps him.
Well, yeah. I mean, the question was, does his experience help him? And he goes, I guess in a vacuum, sure, why not? Like, that's
right.
Yeah. You know, maybe he didn't want to tip his hand one way or the other, but he did have an opportunity, like he did when you asked him about what Caleb could carry over from last year. It wouldn't have been hard for Ben Johnson to sit there and say, oh, yeah, experience is huge for him. And he really didn't. He just kind of said, I guess, in theory. Jason, the rookie conversation is interesting because, in a way, there aren't that many of them. Luther Burden has participated in team drills just Tuesday. He did a little bit of light work Monday. Zay Frazier still hasn't reported to camp. He's excused for personal reasons. Shamar Turner's got an ankle injury. I think it'll be a while until we see him again. That leaves us really with Trapillo and with Colston Loveland. And again, with Burden as the guys that we've been watching, what's jumped out at you so far about those guys?
Well, Trapillo has been the one who's played the whole time. I mean, right. when you say there's not a lot of rookies, there really are a lot of rookies.
There's not a lot of rookies on the field when we're standing
out
there.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. But, I mean, to have four first and second round picks, to have four rookies that you've drafted at a slot that they should be immediate contributors, mm-hmm. and now only three are full go
right.
so far. That's not really what you want. And
three of the relevant ones. I mean, Kyle Manunga, I find interesting, but he's the
Out front of the top guys. Yeah. I mean, Manunga is only really that interesting because he's the only thing they did at running back this year. Normally, a seventh round running back, you don't even really expect that guy to make the team. That guy's probably someone you try to stash on a practice squad. With Loveland, I think his learning curve is going to be pretty big because that position is tough. Mm-hmm. And fortunately for Ben Johnson, he has Cole Kmet for this year.
Right.
As much as Ben Johnson might not be in love with Cole Kmet, the player, the way previous staffs and Ryan Poles have been, but he'll need him this year.
Right.
And that will provide some cover and some margin for Colston Loveland to come along at a natural, organic pace. Similar with Luther Burden, in the sense that the Bears already have DJ Moore and Roma Dunze. They already have, how do you pronounce that guy's name? Zacchaeus
Olamide? Olamide Zacchaeus.
Olamide. Yeah. I mean, he can play.
Yeah.
If needed. I mean, he had good seasons, and he's played very well during training camp. So they could go without Luther Burden as one of their main guys for as long as they need to. But you drafted him as a playmaker. I mean, right. You drafted him 39th overall. He's almost a first-round pick at that point.
Don't tell him that because he's had a chip on his shoulder since he wasn't picked in the first round. Ben Johnson has said, though, like he needs to get up to speed and needed to happen yesterday. I think there was a walkthrough on Monday where they had to do it all over again because Luther lined up in the wrong spot. And while he's been in the classroom and they say that he's been attentive and all of that, there's really no substitute for having to go out there and do it.
They also said, Patrick, when they drafted him, I know he's got that great Missouri education, but when they drafted him, they said, this guy will have a lot to learn.
Right.
This is a very talented guy who is a little on the raw side.
Right. And I think I think that's a great way to put it. I would not be surprised to see him jump in on punt return. I would not be surprised to see them try and find ways to get him the ball. As a quick side note, it sounds like that's the plan with DJ Moore, not the punt returning part, but the just get him the ball part. We've seen him in the backfield. Ben Johnson talked about it. And they actually ran plays with him at running back in front of a crowd yesterday.
Unoriginal. Nah, that doesn't impress me.
Shane Waldron
did that.
Velus Jones and Cordarrelle Patterson can do it. I don't think you're going to see DJ Moore taking handoffs up the middle very often, but to give coordinators something else to think about, I think it's a good idea. And again, his superpower, if he has one, is what he does once you get the ball in his hands. And sometimes the easiest way to get the ball in his hands is to get the ball in his hands and not need your O-line to block up great and Caleb to do exactly the right thing. Maybe you just throw a little swing pass and see what happens.
If you put yourself in Ben Johnson's shoes walking into a roster that you mostly did not build, he said in his introductory press conference he came here in large part because he was enticed by working with Caleb Williams. And, man, coaches should consider the quarterback situation probably – second only to the ownership situation when they're choosing these jobs, because that's going to really decide whether you keep the job. If you're Ben Johnson, Patrick, you try to I'm sorry, not from your perspective, but from what you detect of what he is doing and saying, which players in this offense does he love?
Rome, Colson Loveland. I think he's got a little bit of a man crush on Kyle Manongai.
As do you.
As do I. I think he's compelling. I think the odds of him like rushing for 130 yards in a preseason game that otherwise doesn't produce many interesting tidbits, I think the odds of that are minus 250. he talked about Rome today on Tuesday being kind of your classic, wideout who can go deep and out jump somebody, but also, stop on a dime and turn around and catch the ball. He hasn't talked about DJ like that. And if anything, he talks about DJ as kind of the opposite. Colson Loveland made a catch over the middle on Monday, Jason, in which he jumped out of his shoes, went full extension, caught a pass that was 10 and a half feet in the air. And boy, you can dream on that a little bit, especially off of play action, which is what Ben likes to do the most. And then with Manongai, if you're betting long shots on a third day rookie to help the team, I mean, I think we're one rolled ankle by DeAndre Swift away from that. This being a Kyle Manongai, kind of him being, I don't want to say the lead back, but definitely part of that mix.
What odds would you get if you put Kyle Manongai for offensive rookie of the year?
I'm not even sure they have them. Like, I don't know, 500 to 1?
Yeah, you might have to call one of those sports books in England that'll give you odds on anything.
On anything. But, I could see him being the first and second down back before I could see Roschon Johnson being the first and second down back. I think it's interesting. There's only been, a couple of days of pads here, Jason. So, we'll see what it looks like when the bullets really start flying. But his low center of gravity, his ability to learn, and his ability to pass block, at least early on in drills, I think really bodes well for Manongai.
Yeah. And the opportunity is what really
right.
I mean, again, we were talking about him being a seventh round pick. I forget. I looked it up the other day to see where he was picked at his position. I think it was like 25th or something.
26, 25.
It wasn't great. And on the other hand, who's in front of him?
Right.
Who's in front of him?
That's kind of
there's a starting an expensive starting running back who couldn't be offloaded for a minimal cap hit at the end of this year. Who Ben Johnson previously was involved with trading away in Detroit. There is a fourth round pick in Roschon Johnson who I don't think people in the building even know exactly what he can do or not. I mean, he was pretty much ignored.
I think he was miscast last year for sure.
I mean, man, you talk about landing in the right spot. I would rather be the seventh rounder, Kyle Menangai, in this situation than a third or fourth round running back where I got no shot of getting on the field this year, really, in any kind of meaningful way.
It's almost the opposite of Luther Burden. And Luther Burden's talent is NFL quality out of the chute. But he might be the sixth or seventh guy on the Bears' list of pass catchers right now. I mean, Menangai's, third at worst right now.
At running back.
Yeah, running back. It's very different. Jason, that'll do it for here. We will keep everybody up to date on what's going on at camp throughout the Sun-Times fine family of what? Media? Mediums? Media? No, media. The plural of medium is media, right?
Anyway, platforms.
Platforms. That's the word I'm looking for. You can follow us on social media. You can check us out at the Sun-Times website. You can pull up the app, which I strongly recommend. But more than anything, you can go buy a newspaper if you are in the city of Chicago or its outlying suburbs. He's Jason Leisure. I'm Pat Finley. Thanks so much for listening. We will be back again real soon.